From The 34-Ton Bat by Steve Rushen. It arrives on a gray November day. A brown box filled with packing peanuts, which I brush away with an archaeologist's care to reveal a caramel-colored catcher's mitt, palm up, so that as I reach for it, it appears to reach for me, as if straining to be exhumed from a cardboard coffin. The mitt belonged to Jimmy Boyle, who wore it for the entirety of his Major League Baseball career, which consisted of a single inning of a single game for the New York Giants on June 20th, 1926. With his team trailing the defending world champion Pittsburgh Pirates 8-0 in the top of the ninth inning, manager John McGraw summoned Boyle to replace Paul Florence behind home plate at the Polo Grounds. The 22-year-old Boyle, about to realize his lifelong ambition, quietly slipped this mitt over his left hand. 85 years later, I remove the mitt from its box and instinctively secure it over my nose and mouth, like supplemental oxygen. I take a deep drag of leather, sweat, and smoke, of hot Sunday in Harlem, of late afternoon shadows slanting across the infield, and 40,000 dry-throated spectators lamenting prohibition. And then I slide my fingers into the mitt, its pocket molded by the palm of a dead man, and shake hands for the first time with the grandfather I never knew. Jimmy Boyle was my mother's father. He died of leukemia on Christmas Eve of 1958, 8 years before I was born, but a photograph of him in his Giants uniform, in a catcher's crouch, wearing this mitt, his short-brimmed cap tugged low across his forehead, hung in the house I grew up in, forever silent under glass. In the photo, Boyle's thick wool socks are pulled high. The Giants uniform is long-sleeved, made of heavy flannel, 8 ounces to the yard, and spectacularly ill-suited to a hot summer in Manhattan, to which Boyle had traveled by Pullman car, summoned there from Cincinnati on the Gothic letterhead of the New York Baseball Club, John J. McGraw, Vice President and Manager. In New York, Boyle signed a contract with the Giants for $250 a month, minus $30 security deposit for the two gorgeous uniforms he was issued. He couldn't keep the home whites or road grays, but he kept everything else from his one summer in the big leagues, including his mitt, and a letter detailing his travel expenses to New York, and a note he wrote on July 24th from the Hotel Chase in St. Louis, on the 15th day of a 16-game road trip. "To the best mother in all of this big world," it said, the Palmer script leaning backward, as if reflecting the sudden speed of his new life. "May I realize an ambition that I have harbored since birth." He signed it, James, then added, "New York Giants," as if it were an honorific like M.D. or Esquire. Which, of course, it was. Is it any wonder he saved these things? Having seldom traveled outside Cincinnati, where he and professional baseball were born, Boyle was a big league ballplayer for 43 days before that Pullman carriage turned into a pumpkin. Upon his release, he'd only played once in 6 weeks, he pressed some of his baseball mementos into a small scrapbook, on whose title page he had written, in that impeccable hand, "Little scrapbook of mine, when your pages are dusty and gray, then will your contents call me back to the days that I've passed away." He passed the scrapbook to his only son, my Uncle Pat, now retired in Reno, who gave it to me as a souvenir. Souvenir, a French irregular pronominal verb that means to remember. I also got the mitt and the contract countersigned by Giant Secretary Eddie Brannick, whose first job with the club, as a 16-year-old in 1908, required him to guard the team's supply of baseballs for the penurious McGraw, who knew that those balls were even then an object of desire to fans, players, and anyone else seeking a piece of the national memory. These objects, catcher's mitt, contract, and scrapbook, had been playing dead for 85 years. Now they were suddenly in my home, shaking hands, sitting up, rolling over. Could they also be taught to speak?